You're about to listen to a message from Peace Church in Middleville, Michigan. Feel free to share this content broadly, but please don't alter it in any way without our permission. We pray that you're convicted, comforted, and commissioned by the preaching of God's word.
Psalms 128, a song of ascents.
Blessed is everyone who fears the Lord, who walks in his ways.
You shall eat the fruit of the labor of your hands. You shall be blessed, and it shall be well with you.
Your wife will be like a fruitful vine within your house.
Your children will be like olive shoots around your table.
Behold, the shall the man be blessed who fears the Lord.
The Lord bless you from Zion. May you see the prosperity of Jerusalem all the days of your life.
And may you see your children's children.
Peace be unto Israel. Psalm 128.
If you're new, joining us for the first time or one of the first times here at Peace Church, we're in the midst of a sermon series on family. Psalm 128, we're calling it Seats at the Dinner Table. And what you just heard was a three-generation family, the Shearhorn family and the Martin family, do our scripture reading for this morning. Again, we're in Psalm 128. I'm excited about this sermon series. My name is Pastor Ryan. I oversee the family ministries here at Peace Church, which is why I get to do some of the preaching for this sermon series. We have made journals for you all to take notes in. You're welcome to take notes in the bulletin, but we've made journals for you. And there's two specific reasons why we want you to be taking notes in those journals. First of all, it's so that you, as you take notes, you can bring that to your growth groups. And then you can, as a growth group, be reminded of what was talked about. You can share your thoughts, what God shared with you. I also want to remind you and give one more shout out for the faith formation class that starts tonight here in the worship center. That's four growth groups. But if your growth group can't go, or not all of your growth group can go, still come, because we'll be breaking into groups. Because we know that oftentimes sermons are great to come and listen to and get fed by the word of God. But sometimes it's really good to take that content and process it and pray over it and talk about it with others. And so that's what we're doing tonight, because we think family is really that important. Which leads me to the second reason why we created those journals. So that everybody in the family, as they take notes, can take that to the family dinner table, and that you can discuss that around the dinner table. You can open up and be like, what did God reveal to you? What did you find insightful? What was most challenging to you? That's what we hope you do with those journals. The seats at the dinner table, around the dinner table, and that's what Psalm 128 gives us a picture of. Last week, we talked about the faithful husband. This week, we're looking at the fruitful wife. Next week, we'll talk about the flourishing children. Then the last 2 weeks of the sermon series, we're going to wrap it up with a family looking at legacy, vision, and mission. One of those weeks, we'll be looking at guests around the dinner table, because Peace Church, we want you to be reaching out and inviting people from the community into your home and sharing the gospel with them. So we'll look at what the family looks like that has guests around the dinner table. The last week is one that I'm particularly excited about, as we look at the family with a vision for legacy leaving, as we look at the role of grandparents and grandchildren at the dinner table. Super excited about all those. But today, we're looking at the fruitful wife. By way of reminder, there's two parts to every sermon in the sermon series. The first part is from the family Bible, and that's where we're going to look at Scripture and look at what Scripture says about that person sitting in that seat. The second part is called For the Family Blessing, and we'll look at how that person can bring a blessing from God to the family. Now, I said it last week, and I'll say it again this week. We know that not every seat is going to be filled at every family dinner table. For any number of reasons, there may be some empty seats at your family dinner table. We won't ignore that. And so we're going to talk about God's plan in the midst of that reality, however painful it may be. So today, the fruitful wife. As we've already heard this psalm read by the Shearhorn family, it was Aaron Martin who read our focus verse. It's Psalm 128, verse 3, that first part. And it says this, "Your wife will be like a fruitful vine within your house. As I prepared this sermon and was preparing, I asked my own wife, hey, wonderful wife, any words of advice or wisdom as I, a man, speak on the role of the wife in the house? And she said, yeah, I got advice for you. Don't say anything dumb. Thank you, my beautiful bride. That was very helpful. I will try not to. So let me just say this. Our main point for today, the fruitful wife brings life into her home. The fruitful wife brings life into her home. We've already read the passage, so let's begin our time with some prayer. Would you pray with me? Father, we pray that today's preaching, and that by today's preaching, that it will bring life to the women in this house, that they would in turn, by the power of your Spirit, be a source of life in their home. I pray for the women who have yet to be mothers, or for those who are called only to be spiritual mothers, that they would see the great calling in that. And that in any case and in any calling, they would be faithful first in order that they may be fruitful and kind. Lord, I pray for the men and the young men here today that the guys in this room will honor and respect women as your image bearers, as co-heirs in Christ, as human beings equal in worth and in value. Let it not be said, dear Lord, of Christian men, of what is being said of so many worldly and ungodly men in our present day. I pray that the women would feel safe and supported by us. We pray these things in the most precious, perfect, and powerful name there is. It's in Jesus' name we pray. And everyone said, amen. Okay, ladies, last week was for the guys. This week is for you. So as I proceed, I do proceed with a little bit of caution. So let me lay a few ground rules for us all. Sound all right? First, just because I'm a man doesn't mean I can't speak into the role of a wife or a woman in the home so long as I remain squarely under Scripture's authority and within the realm of biblical wisdom. If you agree with that, please say amen. Amen. Second, anytime we speak about family, we run the risk, the chance of bringing up some dirt, unearthing or being reminded of maybe some unfriendly memories of family. I said it last week, I'll say it again this week, this sermon series and this sermon is not meant to indict anyone for failing to live into the biblical model and the biblical standard here. This is not meant to indict, this is meant to inspire. To inspire the people seated around the dinner table to live into what God has called them to live into. So no indictment, just inspiring. There's no one's allowed to go away from here and start pointing fingers and saying, you didn't do this, you should be doing this. This is all about inspiring people to live into God's model, God's order. If you agree with that, please say amen. Amen. So, ladies, there's no deflecting today's content. There's no taking what we're saying and saying, wait a minute, what about him? We're pulling the plug on that one. Can't do that. Today's content is for you. Last week's content was for him. This is for you. So husbands and men and guys in the house, we're taking this with grace and living into this with grace and inspiration. Hopefully today is nothing but truth spoken for transformation. Truth for transformation. And so let's, without further ado, get into the family Bible and see what it says about the fruitful wife. When we talk about the fruitful wife, I am not necessarily speaking about bearing children, but bearing fruit as in the image of bringing life. This could be physical human life, as in bearing children, a great, good, and godly thing that I wish we as a culture valued more. But also the idea of bringing spiritual life as we bear the fruit of the Spirit within the home. So three ideas from the family Bible on how the fruitful wife brings life into her home. First of all, the fruitful wife brings life through her faith. Secondly, the fruitful wife brings life through her submission. Yes, I'm going there. Men, you can pray for me. Thirdly, the fruitful wife brings life through her wisdom. So first of all, the fruitful wife brings life through her faith. The life that women are to impart is the life of Christ. Galatians 2:20 says, I have been crucified with Christ, and it is no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. And the life that I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. The woman who lives by that verse is the woman who brings true life into her home. Ladies, the best thing that you can bring into your home, the best thing that you can give your home are the things that Christ has already given you. So I want to talk about three of those things. Love, patience, and forgiveness. Love, patience, and forgiveness. First of all, love. The love of a woman as a mother to her children, as a wife to her husbands, are the things that when given, bring life. But when kept, sting like death. The fact that God is not only good, but that he also loves us even when we are unworthy brings an immeasurable amount of comfort, an undeniable reality of security, and a great sense of belonging. Ask a child where home is, and they'll say where mom is. Ask a man where his heart is most content, and he'll say, with my wife's love. The power in the love of a woman is great, and it reflects the even greater power of God's love. Secondly, patience. 1 Peter 3, verse 1 says, to count the patience of our Lord as salvation. God's patience with us. Listen to this. This is key. God's patience for us gives us time to do what he's calling us to do. God's patience with us is giving us time to do what's right. Jesus hasn't returned yet, not because he's giving us time to relax, but because he's given us time to finish the mission. In marriage, when we extend patience, it's giving the other person time to do what's right. Proverbs 25:15 says, with patience, a ruler may be persuaded. Women, think about that when dealing not with the head of state, but with the head of the household. With patience, a ruler may be persuaded. I would say, more often than not, nagging is the result of a lack of patience. You don't understand, Pastor Ryan. I asked him to bring out the trash, and 10 minutes later, that trash is still sitting there. Now, women, what's keeping you from doing it? It's funny how many women have a problem with submission, but they sure love it when their husband does it. See, that one, that was for the ladies. Guys, this is for you. Your wife asks you to bring out the trash, get up out the armchair and go bring out the trash. And don't be like me, who always forgets to put a new trash bag in the trash can. My wife hates that just as much. Not only is patience a fruit of the Spirit, it is the proof that you are growing in Christ. It's the product of the Holy Spirit working in your heart. Patience is the seasoning of a peaceful home. I'll say it again. Patience is the seasoning of a peaceful home. Patience is the cough drop that soothes a situation. Third, forgiveness. One of the most challenging verses in all of Scripture has to be the words of Jesus from Matthew 6, verses 14 and 15. For if you forgive others of their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive others their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive yours. If we don't forgive, God won't forgive us. And as a pastor, I encounter many women who have dealt with unbelievably traumatic and grievous experiences at the hand of a man, and sadly, even their husband. But they are not off the hook for forgiving. Because when we forgive, we show the world how good God is. That even in our wretched state, he would still forgive us. Let me say two quick things about this. I'm not saying that you must stay in a relationship where there has been unfaithfulness. The Bible does give permission to divorce in this case. It is not a mandate. Forgiveness and reconciliation are always the themes of the Bible. But secondly, I'm just going to say this with one statement. Do not stay in a home that is unsafe. But even if your circumstances must change, remember this. If you do not forgive others, neither will God forgive you. Forgiveness is among the most godliest things that we can do. It's an act by which we show the world that God is good, that you show your husband that God is good and that he has been good to you. Fruit. Spiritual fruit is produced in the power of forgiveness. If you want to grow in your faith, then learn to forgive others. Next, the fruitful wife brings life through her submission. This is undoubtedly the most controversial of all the points that I'll express today. So let me start this part off by talking about an incredibly crucial doctrine, a linchpin doctrine, a doctrine that if you move away from, you're moving away from the Christian faith. I'm talking about the doctrine of the Trinity. Without question, the most difficult doctrine for the human mind to understand. We believe that there is one God in three persons, one in essence, three in consciousness, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Each are not part of God, nor are each a manifestation of God, but each are fully God. There is only one God essence, but there are three persons. And this is absolutely crucial. Each member of the Trinity is equal in weight, worth, and power, but distinct in roles. And because there's roles, there is order, meaning that there is a level of submission. This submission is not a result of the person, because each member of the Trinity is equal, but the submission comes out of the role that the person of the Trinity plays. For you theological types, this is the difference between the ontological Trinity and the economic Trinity. God the Father sent God the Son to earth. And after Christ completed his work on earth and returned to heaven, he sent the Holy Spirit. Just as Jesus Christ brought life to this world through his submission to his Father, the wife brings life into her home through her submission. John 5:24 says, Jesus says, "Truly, truly, I say to you, whoever hears my word and believes in him who sent me," there's the submission part, "he has eternal life." There's the idea of bringing life. Now, the Trinity is three persons and a marriage is two persons, so that's not a one-for-one correlation, but there is a great example to be learned from. The fruitful wife is the second person of the marriage, just as Jesus is the second person of the Trinity. The wife is of no less value than the husband, no more than is the son less valuable than the father. Yet Jesus submits to the Father in his role. And that model should be a comfort to inspire women to what God has called them as wives. Submission does not mean that you are inferior, and submission does not mean slave or subjugation. Rather, it means order. It means godliness. It means holiness. Submission means that we think God's ways are better than the world's ways, because God's ways bring life. The world's ways, the world of sin, brings death. We live into God's ways, and that always brings life. So the fruitful wife brings life through her submission to her husband, just as God the Son submits to God the Father. Now, I don't want to rehash last week's sermon on the faithful husband, but I know that what I just said is incredibly unpopular and could easily be twisted or taken out of context to mean something else. I understand that getting up here and saying that, I know that the world would love to take what I said, pull it out of context, twist some things, and have it to mean something that I don't mean it to mean. So I took incredible care to say what I'm saying with nuance. So I hope that comes across. So let me just wrap it up with two points. All people are made in God's image and are equal in worth. Our value does not come by what we contribute, but by who created us. Secondly, men and women are not inferior to each other, but they should feel empowered by each other. And I'll talk about that more in a minute. Third, the fruitful wife brings life through her wisdom. There is a verse that actually comes twice in Scripture. Proverbs 1:8 and 6:20 say the exact same thing. Listen, my son, to your father's instruction and forsake not your mother's teaching. Proverbs 31:26, that section that talks about the godly woman, powerful section of Scripture, says this. She, the godly woman, the fruitful wife, she opens her mouth with wisdom and the teaching of kindness is on her tongue. See, the thing that I love about the wisdom of a woman and why it brings such a strength is that it's seasoned not just with experience or intelligence, but with emotion. The emotions of a woman run deeper than that of a man. You can blame estrogen or God's wiring, but it's not to be mocked, it's to be marveled. When my wife cries at a story or a movie or a situation and I have dry eyes, well, first of all, it helps me to know her heart more fully, but it also helps me to see the story more clearly. She brings an angle that as a man, I won't naturally be able to peer into. Proverbs 31 talks about how the godly wife brings her husband recognition. Therefore, a wife's wisdom is not a threat to her husband. It should be a source of his pride. The fruitful wife brings life to her home because God, through faith, has brought life to her. So when considering how the wife brings a blessing to her home, I'm going to bring three challenges. But before I do, what if the home is without a mother? As a pastor, I run into these situations time and again due to death, divorce, God's determination. Sometimes the mom isn't there. So let me just say two things. This is where the power of a godly family can really shine, through grandmothers or through aunts. Mothers can't be replaced, but God has designed family where we are able to fill in the gaps. Second, as I said it last week, this is where the church can shine. Jesus speaks of God as a hen gathering her chicks. And this plays out practically. How that plays out practically is within the church, us. Not this building, but you and me. That God, like a mother hen, cares for her chicks, so God through the church will care for his people. If mom is not home, I pray for grandma to fill in the gaps. I pray for aunt to fill in the gaps. I pray for you, the church, to fill in the gaps. So how does the wife described in Psalm 128, how does she bring blessing to the home? Three ways I want to talk about. The fruitful wife blesses her children when her identity is in Christ. The fruitful wife blesses her family when her priority is her husband. Going there again. The fruitful wife blesses her home when her activity is the gospel. First, the fruitful wife blesses her children when her identity is in Christ. For those of you who are not mothers, your children could also mean your spiritual children as you serve in our youth or children's programming. But this notion is one that I think a lot of mothers need to hear. Your identity cannot be drawn from your children. Why? Because children can be taken away. Yes, children may take the majority of your time. I have two toddlers and an infant. I know this firsthand. Yes, children's need of their mother is enormous. But again, your identity cannot be drawn from your children because you will destroy your children if you put your identity in them. No one can bear the responsibility of being another person's idol or identity. It ruins people and it ruins the relationship. Have you fallen, women, mothers? Have you fallen into this trap? I'm going to show you five statements. If you say yes to any of these five statements, it's a yellow flag. If you say yes to two of these statements, I venture to say it's probably a red flag. One may be a red flag, but I'm not going to judge. I just want to lay out some things that I think are problematic and let the Spirit speak to your heart. So if you answer yes to any of these next, if you say yes to any of these next five statements, it could be because your children have become your identity. First one, I'm at a loss of what to do if my children aren't around. Second, I take my children's failures personally. Thirdly, I get depressed when my children are upset with me. Fourth, there is nothing I wouldn't do for my children. Sounds heroic, but that is dangerous. And fourth, which for me is probably the most scary, my children are the best at whatever they do. I've heard it. When Christ is our identity, that means, moms, I need you to hear this. When Christ is our identity, that means our identity is secure no matter the circumstances or the outcomes because, just like Jesus, it can survive death. Women, to bless your children and bring life to them means that your heart is so wrapped up in Jesus that they'll feel his love through you. And it is not something that will happen if they are your identity. Next, the fruitful wife blesses her family when her priority is her husband. I am acutely aware that our culture does not like that, does not like the sound of that. I know many Christians who don't like the sound of that. I know many theologically sound Christians who don't like the sound of that, with their response being, shouldn't God be a woman's top priority? Yes, of course. I'm pretty sure I've already made that point. I'm speaking about the people within the house, the seats around the dinner table. The wife's priority should be her husband. When Christ is your identity, as we just said, that means we obey his word, that his standard becomes our standard, that we order our lives around his order. Scripture is crystal clear on this point. Ephesians 5:22, wives, submit to your own husbands as to the Lord. Ephesians 5:24, now as the church submits to Christ, so wives also should submit to their husbands in everything. Colossians 3:18, wives, submit to your husbands as is fitting in the Lord. It's funny, a couple years ago I preached not on the role of the wife, but just on biblical womanhood. And I did not go down the submission route. Didn't talk about submission. And after the sermon, I had men and women come up to me and call me out on it. Like something was incomplete. Now, obviously, no sermon can be exhaustive, but they can be extensive at times. And I was called out because they said that was a necessary component, and I didn't go there. I got called out on it. Well, let's see how many complaints I get this time for mentioning it. When we live according to God's standards, when we order our lives around his order, that opens the door to God's blessings. When we try to do it our own way, when we try to do it by our own design, it's like we're shutting the door on God and saying, my house, my rules. When a house is ordered around God's blueprints, then we receive God's blessing. And for the wife's seat at the dinner table, one way she opens the door to God's blessing the house is when her husband is her priority, as we see in Scripture. Wives are to submit to their husbands and support them by what the Bible calls by being their helpmate. Do you know why wives are called helpmates? Because as a husband, he can't do what God is calling him to do without your help, without your focus, love, and supports. He's designed this marriage to work together. So ladies, if I was to pull your husband aside, if I was going to pull him aside, ask you to stand over here, can I talk to your husband in private for a moment, and I pulled him aside, and I asked him, sir, do you feel like you are your wife's priority? Do you feel undeniably supported by your wife? The sort of breath he takes before he answers is his answer. The sort of breath he takes indicates, ladies, the sort of heart that you are fostering within him. So, do you want your husband to be a leader? Submit to him. Do you want your husband to be humble? Respect him. Do you want your husband to be godly? Support him. And you may say, wait a minute. He's not worthy of submission. He's not worthy of respect. I'm not going to support him. He's not being godly. Listen, I said we're not allowed to say, what about him today? God doesn't let you off the hook because your husband's not doing what he is supposed to be doing. God wants you to be doing what you're supposed to be doing, no matter what your husband is doing. And I believe if you follow the biblical model and you live into the role, well, God will bless your house. And I think transformation will come to your husband. But ladies, it is hard. Be his helpmate. Help him do the things that God is calling him to do, not by taking his role, but by helping him in his role. I don't want my wife to be a cheerleader for me. I want her to be my champion. And finally, the fruitful wife blesses her home when her activity is the gospel. Some of you may ask, what's the difference between family and home? You just mentioned being a blessing to the family. Now you're saying being a blessing to the home. What's the difference? In this sermon, when I say family, I mean the family members, the seats at the dinner table. When I say the home, I mean that space, that physical, relational, and spiritual place in which your family resides and invites others into. The fruitful wife blesses her home when her activity is the gospel. Peace Church, did you know that women were the first to receive the gospel? Women were the first to receive the good news that Jesus had been risen from the dead. If women do not feel empowered by the gospel, it's not the gospel. The Great Commission says, go and make disciples. That's for both men and for women. And when your home is a place of gospel activity, well, not only are wives being obedient to God's call, but God is sure to bless the home. The gospel is the story of the one who saved the world through personal submission, that God the Father sent God the Son to save the world. It's no more clear than I think in John 6, verse 38. Jesus says, for I have come down from heaven. They're denoting he is God the Son. I have come down from heaven not to do my own will, but the will of him who sent me. There's his role, and there is him highlighting his submission. Jesus was sent, and in humility, he submitted. And after living 30-some years, his crucifixion had finally come. And the night before his crucifixion, we find Jesus praying in the garden, and this is what Scripture says. Luke 22, verses 41 to 44. And Jesus knelt down and prayed, saying, Father, if you are willing, remove this cup from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but yours be done. And there appeared to him an angel from heaven strengthening him. And being in agony, Jesus prayed more earnestly, and his sweat became like great drops of blood falling down to the ground. The reason Jesus' sweat turned to blood was because of a real condition called hematidrosis, and it's caused by intense stress and fear. Jesus knew that what was coming had finally come, and he was terrified. And he actually asked the Father for another way. Let this be accomplished another way. But what does Jesus say? Not my will, but yours be done. In the midst of terror, unlike anyone in this room has ever known, Jesus submitted, and he saved the world because of it. The cross. Being nailed to the cross, Jesus paid the penalty for the sins of the world, bearing the full weight of the wrath of God on behalf of our sins. Was Jesus scared in his human nature of being nailed to the cross? Absolutely. But Jesus knew this meant having to bear the full weight of the full wrath of God for all of our sins. That's why Jesus was terrified. But he submitted out of obedience to God, love for him. And through that, God saved the world. And now when we have faith in him, we are cleansed of our sins and clothed in his righteousness, leading to eternal life. His submission brought life. Salvation was made possible to all by the submission of our Savior's. Wives, when you submit, it's a call to be like Jesus, and it's a call to reflect the gospel. The gospel is the story of one who saved the world through personal submission. Nothing brings blessing and life like the gospel, and living that out in your home, which is why we say the fruitful wife blesses her home when her activity is the gospel. Women, men are called to bring the leadership, but you are called to bring life. The fruitful wife brings life into her home. Amen. Let's pray. Father God in heaven, I want to pray for the women in here. Though they are called to compliment men, Father, I pray that you would use them for your glory. And Father, though that men are called to compliment women, Father, you would use us for your glory. I pray for the women that they seek your face above all else. They submit to your will above all else. I pray for those who are married, that their husbands will be so godly that submitting to them will be a joy. And I pray for those who have yet to be married, that you are even now preparing for them a husband who will love them like Jesus loves the church. And for those, Father, who you are calling to a future without marriage, I pray that through the church, their union with Christ will bring them an excitement and a satisfaction to what you are calling them. I pray for the men, both young and old, that they will set such a shocking example to the world with how they honor and respect women that the Christian faith becomes more beautiful to those who they encounter. This world needs to see it, Father. And I ask that your Holy Spirit would descend on the people of Peace Church so that we'd be faithful in doing these things. For your glory we pray, and in the name of Jesus we pray, amen and amen.